It's a lovely topic, becoming free from desires. And it really came from this morning's blessing, the topic. And so this whole day I was exploring this topic with various different resources that we have available here in Madhuban. There are many of our seniors who, you know, if you would just go to them and ask them a quick question, what do you feel on this topic, and you know, give them only 2 minutes and they will give you a little, you know, entry point into that topic too. And so few of the points I was researching, I'd share it. And then perhaps at the end, if you have any points you want to share and any questions, and we can also explore it together. For myself, being with Baba since childhood, you know, I'd always explore knowledge to entertain myself, to explore newness and understand more, and not from doubt, but more with the feeling, I'd like to explain this knowledge to others. If they ask me a question, how can I give an answer? So it's always an opportunity to entertain the intellect. Yeah. But this topic about desires is interesting. When I was seeing it, I was thinking, I love knowledge, I love Baba's knowledge. Is it a desire? Is Baba's knowledge a desire, or is it a need? Do I desire knowledge? And so on one level, we use the word desire as a negative connotation. Because desire means something that you're desperate, you want. I want. There's a level of attraction in it, I like. I have to have it. Temptation, I'm tempted. And so we all know that's the path of illusion. That's what Baba would say, path of devotion. Path of ignorance. And so when the intellect engages on that level of thinking, we know that we drain the self. It becomes empty. Because even if it's something physical or something that is not physical, even if it's something not physical, it's still a desire. And so no matter how much you have of it, you're never content. Even if somebody gives you knowledge for 3 hours, 4 hours, the next day you're still asking the same question, you still want to know the same thing. Desire. And so knowledge that just entertains the intellect on the level of not allowing it to reach transformation and realization isn't helpful to us. Therefore, I always go back to this idea of Baba's, that why did Baba first come down on earth to give this knowledge, and what is the purpose of this knowledge that he is giving? The reason he's come down to give this knowledge, because even if a human being gave this knowledge, it's not useful. It's only useful because I know who's given it and for what reason it's given for. And so Shiv Baba coming down at the confluence age, using Baba, Brahma Baba's body to speak the knowledge in such a way to give us the understanding that I am a soul and that we are all souls and that we've gone round the cycle of time through the stages of purity and impurity, and that now I have to become pure again, go back home and come back again in the cycle. And so when I realized the power of what Baba's knowledge is all about, that actually it's about the soul. The purpose is so that the soul transforms, so that the soul is released from matter and body consciousness and the five vices and all the heaviness that it's experiencing, the past baggage. And it's fueled in such a way that it's released to go up, above, back home. And therefore knowledge understood from that perspective, that this is what the knowledge of the soul is helping me to do. Then to understand who is helping the soul to be released. It's Shiv Baba. And it's Shiv Baba who's going to help me conquer the five vices. I don't have to conquer the five vices. I have to be in companionship of Baba. So that Baba's energy releases the soul from the five vices. I, the soul, have come from a long journey. Half the cycle, it's been a struggle. And so I've come powerless at the Confluence 8. And so how can a powerless soul release itself from five vices? It's a hard job for a powerless soul to do that. Therefore, when I get the understanding that Shiv Baba has come and all I have to do is belong to him and stay in his lap, then I create a partnership with him, a belonging with him, a relationship with him. To understand the fact that, yes, it is with his energy is going to allow the process of transformation to happen. And I have to let it happen. I can't be stuck and fight and get confused and get irritated and all the, you know, baggage that goes with the transformation. I have to allow it to happen. It has to happen. The soul has to become pure. So you have to allow the impurity to be released to flush it out. And therefore the aspect of soul consciousness comes in with the whole feeling that I have to be an observer of that process that's going to happen in the Confluence 8. I observe the soul going through that purification. And when the intellect is engaged in this work, because this is what the work Shiv Baba has come to help us to do, to understand, then I know what is elevated karma. That whatever karma I perform now, I need to perform it with the whole concept of soul consciousness. Social karma, karma that we perform with charity, with the idea of doing good, all of that we've been doing for half the cycle. You know, helping humanity, being selfless, all of that. That's our nature anyway. As human beings, we do that naturally. If there is a calamity or a something that's gone wrong, we automatically as human beings go and help. That is our normal nature, to help another human being, whether they are blood or not. So on one level, we are doing good. That's our innate nature, to do good. But then what is the quality of goodness that Baba teaches me now at the Confluence 8? It's not just about being good on that level. It's about creating for the future. The present time, the Confluence 8, is about the opportunity Baba gives the soul to create sanskars for the future. And so one asks, well, why do we listen to Baba's Murli? That's the knowledge. Why do we listen to Baba's Murli? If we just know that you're a, you know, we are a soul, a point of light, Baba too incorporeal, and we know where he resides in the soul world, and that I take my intellect up there and I connect with Baba and I draw all the goodness, all the powers, all the virtues, all the qualities, fill the self up so full that when I come down I'm in a position to give rather than to want. So on one level, it's not a desire to have this knowledge. It's necessary according to time. It's not a desire. So sometimes our academic intellect comes in the way and we want to, you know, make Baba's knowledge an encyclopedic experience. It's like a research laboratory, which is okay, it's not bad, it's quite fun. But then also to take it to another level where I'm using Baba's knowledge to actually help the soul to go home and then to be prepared for the next cycle. And so I think of my 84 births. So when I'm my intellect is engaged on that level, it's like as if, okay, I have no time to think of any other desires in this world. There's so much to do suddenly. There's so much to create, there's so much to construct. And where is the construction happening? It's not something physical, because on the physical things are destructing, they're falling apart. And so we know physically things are going to fall apart and we have to let it fall apart. It will. Matter will weaken, it will crumble. Body will also crumble. Body will also feel the effect. But it is the mind. It is the intellect that we are actually going to become masters of. So that, yes, I am in control, or I have a beautiful relationship with the mind in such a way that I plan the quality of thoughts that I want to put in place and therefore put those into action so that they become my sanskars. And that's why we meditate, don't we? That's the word we use, meditation. And really meditation is about feeding the right quality of thoughts and allowing the right thoughts to be given attention and energy, so that the soul receives that vibration. You know, it's a help. I am a soul, a peaceful soul, a loving soul, a pure soul, a powerful soul. And even though you know for half the cycle you haven't been all these feelings and these thoughts, it's okay because you're creating, you're generating, you're accumulating in the account of the soul's goodness and feelings of goodness. And they grow, they definitely grow. And then it's like as if I allow Baba's light to shine on those thoughts. Because on its own it becomes ego. You know how it is? I am peaceful, you know, it's like, are you really peaceful? It's like, are you arguing with the thought of peace? No. I am peaceful and I'm satisfied. So there's such a big difference in the way we even say peace. So each time we go into the attitude of that thought, the awareness of that thought, you know, the intention of that thought, that's what we're refining each time. That's what we're constructing each time. And that's a beautiful work. You know, that's an internal work. And once we're engaged in that beautiful internal work, the balance comes when I put those thoughts into my action. That's the interest. That's the research. That when I'm in action, are these thoughts coming into play? You know, you can put a cup of tea with carelessness, you know, okay, it's like that. But you can put a cup of tea with great care. Care. Yeah. So again, it's not as if we have to go into slow motion physically, but mind has to be slow. I can be extremely fast in the physical action world, but my mind is very accurate and very powerful and full because I've done the homework of feeding the mind with good thoughts regularly, so it stays at that level. Daddy Janki is always a very good example of that, isn't she? She's so fast on the physical. Yet you know her mind is so stable on the internal. It's like such a stability in there that holds everything in place. You can feel that stability even in her drishti, even when she gives toli, even when she speaks in her classes. Sometimes it's amazing, a 97-year-old, I don't know if you noticed, but normally old people, when they speak, they repeat a lot. You know, the same sentence, and then you kind of think, okay, yeah, change the topic. But here, this amazing master, 97, every sentence is new. Every sentence has a link. It's not even just scattered. It's linked. If you see her classes, they still have a flow to it. There's a connection to it. Why? Because mind is connected to Baba. Man mana bhav. She always remembers that. You'd notice how she remembers, who am I? Where do I come from? Who belongs to me? And who, where, I mean, this whole idea of belonging, who do I belong to? Where have I come from? All this aspect. She'll repeat it each time in every class because it's a spiritual identity. Who am I? Every day, who am I? Where do I come from? Who do I belong to? And where do I have to go? So where every day I keep the spiritual intellect on the right direction every day, then it's not difficult to make decisions. Because another element, when I asked somebody today about this topic, they said, okay, desires. It's about learning to make the decision between wants and needs. Want, I want something, but I need it. So when I am correct, switched on up here internally in my intellect, with the right spiritual identity every day, and I look at what's coming in front of me, it will be very easy for me to recognize, do I want this? Is it because I want this? Or is it that I need it? It is necessary. And it's okay for it to happen, or okay for me to do it. Many times we're confused in that area, isn't it? Am I desiring it? Because I know if I desire it, it's not going to happen properly. But is it beneficial? Is it needed? Sometimes when things are needed, we're not ready to do it. We want somebody else to do it, or something to happen for it to happen. Isn't it? We pend it, we say, okay, if it really is meant to happen, it will happen, but I'm not so involved in it. We know it's needed, so if drama makes it happen, it's fine. We leave it on to drama. But if it's a want, you go for it, because your personal interest is in it. And so desires, and if you actually invest in your desires without understanding, because of ignorance, you're not recognizing it's a desire, you just mix it up, thinking the wants is a need, you know. Thinking, no, it's needed. It's not needed, you want it. And so if I go down that road of desires and fulfill desires, because really, Baba fulfills all our desires. at the end of the day. But the minute I fulfill my desire is the minute Baba doesn't take responsibility. And Baba says, fine, yeah, well, you know how to fulfill your desires, go ahead. And then whatever the repercussion of that is, you're going to have the burden of the result. You know? But it's always beautiful to connect to Baba and think, if Baba really, you know, wants me to have this, it will happen automatically without even me asking for it. And not to say that we can't ask for things. It's not that we can't ask. We can ask, but not to the extent that we lose our stage. That's important. Not to the extent that I forget Baba, I forget who I am, and then I get wallowed into my past old sanskars. Not to that level. It's okay to ask, you're sick, you need something, it's fine, it's okay. But I don't have to disturb so many people around me. I don't have to blame anyone for not looking after me. I don't have to say, well, so-and-so should have known, they should have understood. That's all negative and waste. And so that is, you know, what gets bred in the mind, you know, when we don't recognize what decision to make. And so it's always nice that if I am in that soup, let me just become detached, observe. Go into my own awareness and attention of the real gyan. I am a soul. Go back into that highest spiritual domain. And then you know your answer will come. Then even universe gravitates to support you. You know, the universe is everything, you know. It attracts. The right thing happens in place. And so becoming free from desires is not about just physical things. It's very subtle. Becoming free from, today Baba was saying, desire of attainment, ignorant of the knowledge of attainment. Now it's interesting because normally when we hear the word attainment, attainment means something that's good, isn't it? Attainments are, what Baba says, the treasures of knowledge, treasures of time, of thoughts, virtues, powers. These are our spiritual attainments. You know, this is what we have. These are our treasures as a soul. But in this context, it was like as if Baba was saying, you know, don't think what you're going to receive after doing that. You know, don't think, am I going to receive this name, title, position, this level of attainment? You know, will that attainment give me all those things also? Will it fulfill all the criteria of my needs? You know, because each thing we do, whatever service there is in front of us, or whatever there is to be done in front of us, if we just do with the awareness, okay, I'm Baba's child, Baba is with me. And whatever karma I perform in his remembrance, you know, automatically fortune is there. Someone said, never ask for your attainment or fortune before at the right time. Because at the right time you receive it. When we start looking at others and thinking, why are they getting it first? You know, I should also do the same to get it. That's what we don't want. Comparison. But at the right time, it will be me and Baba will give it to me. Because he is the one to fulfill all desires. He knows what the soul needs, isn't it? And he knows what the soul can also give. And he's the one who uses the soul. He is the one who uses us as instruments. We are His instruments. So accordingly, when He needs me, He will touch the intellect. Even if I am not aware, He will touch the intellect. And so it's like a trust, it's like a faith I have, a trust and faith that at the right time, in the meanwhile, keep doing my homework. Keep my stage alive. Because at any time, anything can happen. Suddenly, anything can happen. And if anything happens, the stage is what's going to be important at the time. That will help me. And what do we mean by stage? That's another word too. It's like a Brahmin dictionary stage. Baba uses the word stage. But it really means the barometer of happiness inside the self and contentment. You know, have you seen a flower when it's fully alive? It's got a lot of water. It's got nourishment, it's so rich, it's blossoming, it's just got everything, it's so powerful, it's radiating, and everyone is attracted to that flower, those flowers there in the garden. But have you seen a flower when it's wilted? And it's just shriveling and it hasn't got enough water and its colors are changing. Yeah. In the same way, my mind, if it's rich with all those powerful thoughts that Baba gives, and it's got that sap of spiritual love within it, it's nutrified. The mind, the state of the mind is full, it's overflowing, it's radiating. Yeah. But as soon as the mind is got disturbed, it's not able to connect anymore, it's got the influence or a tsunami of past thoughts emerging, or thoughts from the subconscious are, you know, coming like waves and turmoils, and all sorts are happening inside there. It's like as if that poor flower, that mind is, you know, wilting, and that's where the stage goes, low, low stage, disturbed stage. And in that, everyone is disturbing you then. It's not that they want to disturb you. It's you gravitate it automatically to yourself. Then you know, okay, I have to fix myself because every person is saying the same thing. And then you think, uh-oh, let's go back to Papa's room and start again. No. So we shouldn't reach that stage, no? Though we have to go through that process. It's fine once we get, you know, once we master the mind in such a way that we've got that balance inside, this happiness, this contentment, that okay, even if it wilts, I know how to bring it back to life. And for those who are gardeners, they know how to bring things that are wilted back to life. So do I know how to bring my own mind back to life? Not someone else's mind to life. You know, we're very good counselors for other people, but we're terrible counselors to ourselves. And so the trick really is that Baba's given such an intellect to us that all the information of how to help ourselves is in there. There's a huge self-help book in there, in that intellect of ours. You know, that's why he says, use your intellect, use your divine intellect. You have it. I've given it to you. Once we do the 7 days course, we've got a beautiful intellect. It's already there, but we're not using it. Yeah. And so when I use it, I build spiritual muscle. I build it inside. And so I'm full. And when I'm full and I'm content, there's just no desire from the outside. In fact, I begin to become the one who fulfills desires of others. You know, like how Mama is the one who is Kamdenu, the one who fulfills the desires of others. You reach that stage where you just naturally do it. It's not something that you go and say, okay, let me fulfill that one's desire. It's not like that. It's like suddenly someone comes and you naturally even do something that You don't know they had that desire, but their desire was fulfilled. And so who was doing it? Not you, but Baba, because your attention is with Baba. Your attention is with yourself, internal. And so it's always beautiful to have that balance of inside and outside. Sometimes we become self-absorbed, too much inside, which is also normal. But then we realize through hard effort that we have to emerge it out again and put it into reality. That's where we're stopping, the block is there. And then sometimes we realize we're so outside that we're forgetting to do the internal work and we haven't got time for the self. We call it lack of balance of self-sustenance. We have to, you know, help the mind who's actually doing everything inside there. So becoming is all about the journey, you know. This word becoming, I am becoming, I am on that road, I am. Baba's put me on that road. According to that knowledge, I am on the road. And so it's okay if I fall, then I pick myself up. At least I should have knowledge of picking myself up. And so this whole aspect of how is it that I remain very aware of myself is about becoming a friend to yourself. Yeah. Not a friend to other people, not in the confluence age. As soon as you have a conversation which takes you into the outside or the past or the future, it's hard effort to bring it back into the present, you know. Confluence age is about being here in the now. So I need the art of learning how to be a friend to myself, so that I'm not seeking relationships from outside. And then once I've learned how to converse with myself, automatically I have the art to converse with Baba. So two conversations. And the Muli begins to become my mirror. It shows me, it's like a map, it shows me where I should take myself. So, deep thoughts, right? According to the right time, things happen for us in our journey. But the aim is beautiful, isn't it? Baba has given that aim so beautiful to us. To go to the golden age, to become the deity from the human. This is also what the knowledge is all about. But the knowledge helps us to reform the sanskars. That's what's taking us into the golden ages, the sanskars. And so the aim is to divinize the self to that level. Yeah. And so it's not about position, it's not about anything physical up there, out there. It's not even out there. Baba's talking about everything that's happening within the soul, remember that. Yeah. The knowledge is within the intellect of the soul. So staying connected at that level is really about knowing and having interest in being at that spiritual stage. So I'm open to any questions, any comments. Yes. Wonderful. Yeah. It's interesting, sanskars are always going to be there, I feel. I don't feel that there's been this massive big transformation in my sanskar that I know that it's gone forever. But I do know that it's become refined. Yeah. That it's become tamed. And there's this trust and faith that, oh, thank God, at least I don't have the same feeling. asking anymore. It's this one sanskara of waking up early in the morning that I'll give you an example of. You know, being in gyan since childhood. It wasn't something that interested me, waking up early in the morning. I used to say to Baba, what am I going to do with you early in the morning at 4? You know, that's the time for me to sleep. I'd rather sit and meditate later on in the evening. You know, I'm very peaceful then. I really will enjoy ourselves together then. That was the sanskara I had at that time. But when I used to read the Murli, Baba would say early morning hours are the, you know, the best times to meditate. And so on one level, there was truth in front of me in this Murli. But on the other level, there was my own personal feeling, which was so true and it wouldn't change. And so I came to terms with, okay, Khan, if you can't do it, it's fine. Eventually it will happen, but don't ignore it. Don't ignore it, because there's some truth in it. God is speaking, Baba is speaking. There's some reality in it, which maybe you're not experiencing yet. And so I'd, you know, make friends with those who naturally used to wake up early in the morning without any effort. I would purposely make friends with them, purposely. They wouldn't know. But I would always be interested, how do they do it? What do they do? It's so natural for them. They don't even need to think. But in their company, I know I will be able to catch that vibration. So slowly I used to make those steps. Because if Baba is saying it, I want it. I want that experience too. It's just that I can't have it because I'm weak in the morning. And then I realized from time to time, as I attempted to wake up, it was a struggle. It wasn't natural. It was out of duty. It was out of, because I had to follow what Baba said in the Murli. And yes, I went through that struggle. It was a huge struggle. But I was one to not give up. Because I know certain things need to struggle through and certain things are very easy. Whereas for certain other people it's very difficult, but for me it was easy. So it was fine. And so for a few years, not even a year, few years, and I'm still there, you know, at that level. It's not easy. But I know there's benefit. Yeah. Until a time where I felt there was this huge release in the middle of my journey. And suddenly it was like I was waking up and I hadn't got any alarm clock. I didn't put no alarm clock. I was waking up. And I was saying to Baba, Baba, good morning. I was thinking, my God, I never said good morning to Baba like that in my life. I just say, I don't know what to do anything with you, Baba. Just, you know, like heaviness in the morning. And suddenly there was this breakthrough. Good morning. And I was thinking, how am I saying good morning to him with so much love? And I'm surprised at that shift in sanskar. And I'm really saying it so sweetly to him. And I want to just hug him early in the morning. I think this would never happen. So this is one, it's not that tiredness doesn't come in. The body does get tired. But my mind is feeling so good in the morning suddenly. So there I can say, yes, sanskar has transformed. It has been refined. Definitely it's refined. So I'm released from that burden. So even if I go through any illness or something happens that it's, you know, affected for some reason, I have the faith and trust in myself that I'll come back again. There is no feeling that I'm not going to remember Baba with that sweetness in the morning at that time. Because I've already like dug deep into that sanskar powerfully. You see? Like that. So I still keep the conscience alive. O Kanan, the morning time, the most important time in the day. That's going to determine your entire day. Every day I will do this. Even the quality of my thoughts in the morning, I keep refining it. How did I feel this morning? What did I feel yesterday morning? The morning time, so that is one I can say. And it's an ongoing thing. It's not something I'm perfect. Any other questions? Faith. Means if the faith is low, then transformation doesn't happen. Is that what your question is? I think, you're right. Faith in what Baba is saying, absolutely. Murli is golden. Golden. You know, every word has a meaning behind it, but in context, you see. And that's why it's very important to listen to Dadi's classes, and it's so important to hear it in context. The seniors are there to help us to see the Murli in context. It's very important. And so, it's not like, you have to be rigid or fundamental about the Murli, but relevant to yourself in your journey. The interest has to be there. Then I'd like to do what Baba did. There's an interest. In the whole cycle, I'm not going to get Baba, so I might as well do it now. No, there's not going to be Murli around the cycle. Only once in the cycle there is Murli. So you might as well revolve your whole world around Baba and Baba's Murli. And then anyway around the cycle, you can revolve your world around anything. Everything is going to still be there. So again, interest, faith, hobby, it's what is it that you want to do now in the conference? Is recognition of time. Now. Now. Yes, because if they don't recognize who is, it's an example one would give is if there was a book and I'm not connected to the author of the book. It's like as if there's no meaning to read that book because you're not really getting the power of that book. And you're just reading it for a sake, but there's actually nothing happening for you. It's like a textbook. And so, it's like the intellect becomes like an encyclopedia again. But you haven't really formulated a relationship with the person who's speaking. It's like the same thing as reciting the scriptures. The scriptures are there, but it's like, just imagine your father is standing there or sitting there and he's written a few things and you're just reading those things. But you're not speaking to your father. It's like that. And so the only way they could actually have a belonging is when they really have this awareness of the power of karma. That's why Baba inspires karma yoga so much, because there's this feeling of belonging that happens when we do that. And when that belonging happens, they belong to family first, then they belong to the subjects, the four subjects, what this family is studying, how they're working. Then it's like as if they want to know, who's behind all of this? And of course, definitely the main thing is yoga. If those souls are not interested or inspired into sitting in yoga, it's not going to happen for them because they need to really go through that. You really need to sit in Baba's room and create that time in your life where you are going to have a relationship with Shiva Baba through Brahma Baba. Even though we all never saw Brahma Baba physically, we're having a, airy-fairy relationship based on what we've been told about Brahma Baba, whereas Dadi's had a real relationship with Brahma Baba. But our connection with Baba is, through the avyakt. And so we listen to avyakt murli, we have that connection with Shiva Baba through the avyakt, but we also don't want to miss out on that relationship with angel Brahma Baba, because that's how Shiva Baba works, that's the mother, he's the father. And so that even though it's like the murli has one sentence and my feeling is something else, but I'm making the effort to build it. And I want to build it, And so it's for us to bridge that gap. We need to make that effort. It's the self to inspire it.
And sometimes souls don't get it, which is also okay. It's not in their fortune. Maybe their fortune is just being cooperative. And that's also fine. They are part of the tree. It's also okay. We need to enjoy them all the way they are. That's what I feel too on one level. Yeah, it's okay for them. Because as long as they're still connected and coming to the center, that's wonderful. Because as you know, today's classes, it's all about people going on internet and the relationship just is on TV, which again is not a real relationship. That's quite distant. So as long as they keep coming, there's more opportunity and chances for them to connect to Baba powerfully. Baba will touch their intellect. So during meditation, how do you use your intellect? I think your intellect is already in use when you're meditating. Yeah? And so the role the intellect plays is of actually guiding to create the right thought. So Baba has already given us an intellect when we've done the 7 days course. It's like as if we have the knowledge of the soul, we have the knowledge of the Supreme Soul, we have the knowledge of karma, we have the knowledge of the cycle, we have the knowledge of the tree, we have the knowledge of the four subjects, we have the knowledge of the four dharanas, you know, we have the knowledge of the murli, we have knowledge of the history, we have that full knowledge, and so the intellect is there. You see, the intelligence, the spiritual intelligence is there. And so when I'm sitting in meditation, what I'm just doing is I'm actually allowing those thoughts to become a reality. I'm bringing life into those thoughts. Every cell in my body is listening to those thoughts, is feeling those thoughts, and the human element is changing into divine deity element. And so each time it listens to it and it gets, you know, absorbed in it, and the memory of those cells emerge of the golden age of the soul world. It's like as if you are living that confluence age. So intellect is doing its work. But mind is just focused on it. See, that's what meditation is all about. And so intellect is doing that part. Comments? Of when I made a decision? Yeah. I remember a time when a senior came to the center. And of course, you know, when seniors come, they're always right, aren't they? We never think they're wrong, out of deep respect. But on another level, one also has to have the reality that they're also Baba's instruments. They're children. And we too are children, Baba's instruments. And when making a decision, I mustn't fall into the trap of being influenced. Yeah. And we all know that. You know, we say yes, and suddenly we realize we shouldn't have said yes. Yeah. And there was this time when the instrument had said, you know, can you do this? Yeah. It was about being accommodated into someone else's house and staying the night there. And the context was, okay, I too will stay the night there because we need to give company to the guest and all that context. And I realized that I couldn't go because I had so much work to do. But I was so scared to make the decision. If I say no, how will this instrument feel? But if I say yes, then I'll be a bit arrogant and rejecting what her opinion is. And so I had this ping pong. And you know, if you get it wrong, then you've got it wrong for the next few days. You know, like that feeling. I said, I can't afford 2 days at this level. It was such a situation. Big public program and all. But I put myself in this position and thought, will this instrument do what I'll do if I listen to this instrument? If anything goes wrong. Then I realized, no, this person will not be the right person to do it because it's not right for that person to do this part. So then I had to put my self-respect up. And in that I made that quick decision that, look, I won't be able to. So I did vocalize it with that feeling, because I had to, like, again, use the divine intellect. It had to come in. And I said to this instrument, I won't be able to stay the night, because I will be up till midnight doing all this, this and this. He said, okay. And of course, you know, the instrument's like, it's not okay, but in one level, but I had to, like, say okay. It was very interesting. The next day I find out that wherever they slept, they had no sleep. Yeah. And had I just, you know, wallowed and said yes and sorry and all that and gone into that space, I would have had no sleep. Next 2 days would have gone. You know? And it's like as if at least I had to finish my part. And whoever didn't sleep was able to sleep the next day. But I was able to go through the whole next 2 days properly. You know? So in one way, we have to make a divine intellect very much present each time, even though there may be sanskars, even though your sanskars are so powerful coming out. I have to kind of like make that space for the truth to emerge and speak it with that awareness. And then back off, because of course then, you know, you can relax then, back off. You know, Baba's saying, be the master when you need to make a decision, then become a child again. You know, don't stay the master all the time. That's the problem then, if you stay the master all the time. Then you can't allow someone to help you. You can't. The instrument will not help you. Even if they want to help you, they can't help you. And they're there to help you. They're not there to make things difficult for us. They're there to make things more easier for us. It's how we perceive it. You see? So yeah, there are things sometimes, you know, one will say this and one will say that. And Dadi will say this, and another senior will say this, and another textbook will say that, and another class will say this, and then you've got this huge, you know, Google in your head, and you wonder which direction you're going to go to, especially now, 2013. Sometimes it's always good to just let go. Just be a point. And find your own. Create the magnetic power. You saw Bab Dada this time, right? Whoever was here, how powerful was that magnetic feeling of how when Baba came? It was so strong, so concentrated, so loving at the same time. So refined and divine. Just remember that energy, that power, that love. Recall that magnetic spiritual strength. That is the real truth that we want to invoke in our day-to-day work. That's the real. Baba's energy is the real energy we want to keep very powerfully nurtured in us. Yeah. Not any human being. The energy. And so working with Baba and keeping Baba in companionship is our aim, in Baba's truth. And Baba doesn't mean just Baba like a Bhagat. Baba means really that incorporeal, that source, that ocean of love, the ocean of purity merged within that concentration. That relationship. Okay. It's yoga time now. And so let's sit with Baba with that awareness, and we'll become all free from desires then.